Restrictions on the ivory industry are multiplying in the U.S., and artists in Alaska are worried strict rules could make their way here. Alaska Native carvers do have a degree of protection under federal law, but non-Native carvers who only work with fossilized ivory are not shielded in the same way. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
That's the sound of a dental tool, but Bruce Schindler is not a dentist. He's an ivory carver. Schindler hunches over a work table in his sunny Skagway studio. He uses the metal drill-like tool he's adapted for his craft to carve a small piece of fossilized mammoth ivory.
A pair of eyes, kind of unfinished idea. But
the great thing Schindler came to Skagway in 1993 to drive a tour bus. Soon after, he started working with ivory. The mammoth ivory he restores and carves comes from the Dawson City area in the Yukon.
I go up and I'll drive hundreds of miles of dirt roads going from gold mine to gold mine, searching for miners who are willing to sell some of the tusks they find.
Last year, the Obama administration put an almost complete ban on the commercial trade of African elephant ivory in the U.S. But that ban didn't touch the fossil ivories that Schindler and others in Skagway use. Those are still legal. And Alaska Natives are permitted to harvest walrus ivory under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. But some states have gone a step further, implementing tougher restrictions that prohibit the trade of nearly all ivory. Schindler's concern is that a similar ban could come to Alaska and devastate the industry here.
It's not just scary, it's kind of apocalyptic in many ways.
Zach Smith is with the Natural Resources Defense Council. It's one of several groups that have lobbied states to put tougher restrictions on ivory. Smith says they're not going after anything protected under federal law. That includes the walrus ivory that Alaska Natives are allowed to harvest. But the fossilized ivory is a different story.
NRDC supports the closure of domestic ivory markets focused on elephant ivory and including ivory markets that offer a cover for elephant ivory for the illegal trade in elephant ivory.
Smith says illegal elephant ivory is often presented as a legal product, so prohibiting the trade of other ivories could help cut back on illegal behavior. And some states agree with that logic. For example, California has set a ban that extends to fossilized ivory. Schindler argues it's easy to tell the difference. Those outside laws are already affecting Alaska carvers. Schindler says he's lost about half of his customers, artists who used to purchase tusks from him for their own work. Locally, Schindler says the market is strong, but there is still uncertainty. Kathy Wassman's family owns a shop called Taya River Arts. Wassman wears ivory jewelry that she carved herself. She says sometimes customers question the ethics of what they're purchasing.
I think it's a teaching moment most of the time. It's the opportunity to let people know that, hey, what you're looking at is unique and it has nothing to do with endangered species.
Schindler says as carvers, they aren't against most of what ivory bans in other states entail, but
to add Alaskan ivories to this ban is shameful and it's misguided.
A resolution was introduced in the Alaska Senate in February that aims at protecting legally acquired walrus, mammoth, and mastodon ivory from current and future laws.
Mammoth ivory is still going to stay the center of what I do, but I'm starting to work gold. Because I have access to gold miners, I'm buying gold from them, so I'm starting to work my own gold jewelry. I want a backup.
In Skagway, I'm Abby Collins.